So as we finish up this last lesson out of seven in the seven-week series that we've called Barriers to Reaching Beyond Us, Beyond Here, I want to note one more observation about Peter and his growth curve that we've been observing in our character study, and one more teaching from Peter. And this time, I want to look in his second letter, the book of 2 Peter. You remember in our character study, we looked through the Gospels and Acts, and we saw how Peter, Jesus had been teaching and tempting to enlarge his heart and grooming to be more inclusive, to identify and acknowledge his barriers and overcome those, and to include more than just the Jews, but to include non-Jews, which are Gentiles. Gentile, when you hear Gentiles, that said anyone who wasn't a Jew was a Gentile. And Peter thought the kingdom, the church, the message, the Messiah was for the Jews, and it was going to be centered in Jerusalem. And so we've looked, I won't re-preach it, but we've looked how Jesus kept chunking seeds into the heart of Peter in a confrontive but kind and persevering way to help him move. And in his letters, we looked last week at 1 Peter, and now I want to look at 2 Peter. The observation I want to make is in this letter, we get clues of the growth that he's had, the ground that he's taken. And so the observation of Peter comes in the first verse. And I'm going to show you how the opening of this letter, if you have ears to hear it and eyes to see it, speaks to just how far Peter had grown. And I want to celebrate that. And I want to find myself in it. And I want you to. And he's grown in this move of thinking that his Christian ministry was just for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. So here it is. This is how he starts the book of 2 Peter, the letter. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus have received a faith as precious as ours. So it just sounds like a typical starting to a letter that you pass by to get to the meat of the contents, doesn't you? But if you listen through the lens we've been studying Peter, you'll see a rich treasure here. Who are the they he's writing to? Who's his audience? You see it. There's a they and there's an us in this. Who are the they? Who are those who have received a faith as precious as ours? All of my commentators agree, Bible commentators agree, there can be only one answer. They were those who were previously Gentiles, non-Jews. He's talking to them. And he's saying that there is equity. You are as valid as us. You are as valid as us, and you have received a faith that is as precious as ours. There is no difference. And this is the last he mentions in this letter, and it's the last we'll ever hear about it again. He had broken down these barriers. See, Peter was a typical Jew, and the typical Jews for eons had put a huge line between the Jews, and the code was the Jews were the people of God. Whenever you read people of God in the Israelite scriptures, the Old Testament or in the New Testament, that's code for the Jews typically. And if it's used anywhere else, that's like not right, because the Gentiles, Peter didn't even think they were a people. He confesses that. There are places where the Jews had gotten so bad about this, and this is wrong, but they called them Gentile dogs. They weren't even a people at all. They had no identity, but the Jews did. Peter confesses that back in his first letter. I didn't read it last week, but he confesses what he did believe and what he believes now. And he charts his journey with this one sentence. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. That's the Jews, not Gentiles. Not anymore. Not in Peter's heart. He had come all the way where Jesus needed him. His ministry now, he was impartial. He was as effective with the Gentiles as he was with the Jews. He was as open with this other people group that he used to be so uncomfortable with as he is with his people that he has a heart for. His heart had enlarged to include literally the whole world. It took Peter some time, as we've noticed. Paul, it seems like his walls were paper thin for some reason. He just has this glorious, revolutionary, spiritual experience with Jesus on the Damascus Road, and he changes. And he moved faster than, and we see this in Ephesians 2, and I wanted to just refer to this from Paul because it has our language I've been using for this series. He says, for Jesus, talking to some Gentile Christians, he says, for Jesus is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. It's gone. It's gone. This is lost on us, but it's a big theme in Scripture when you see it. And I hope you have this 7 weeks. It's one of Scripture's big deals. The gospel is for everyone. Everyone. So we need to break down the barriers between us and, well, anyone. He's got the whole kingdom all over the earth. He's got the whole church all over the earth to do everyone, but we need to be ready to do it with anyone. Whoever God sends out this particular church's way and your particular way. I find myself, maybe you do too, in both Peter and Paul. There's some glorious, awesome people. They're very blessed. They're just Paul. Their walls are paper thin about everyone in any people group, it seems like. And then there's others that are more like Peter. They have walls almost with anyone who's not like them. Both are fine. Both are redeemable, usable. One quicker maybe than the other, but both have their purpose in the kingdom. But I find myself in both. With some people groups, I have been like Paul. No problem. Where it's been easy for me to confront and tear down barriers between me and other people and other people groups. But with others, I've been more like Peter. I've been cautious, slow, tentative, skeptical, defensive even, if not downright resistant in justifying the us and them in an unarguable way. Nobody can, you know, argue with me on, it seems like. I've been more like Peter with some. But I celebrate the ground. And this is what I'm wanting you to do with what we've looked at in the series with Peter. I want to celebrate the ground that Jesus has taken over the course of Peter's life. And I want to celebrate the ground that he's taken over the course of mine. And let it inspire me to move on. I've had a celebration spirit about this for two reasons. Because I remember how I've been. And I see how I am in some areas. And maybe some places where I also need to get to with some other areas. But breaking down these barriers and becoming safe, as Ryan has taught us the last 2 weeks, with people other than me, different than me, who I used to be uncomfortable with, has been beneficial to me. Like, it's freed me. I am better because of it. Like, I can't imagine not having friends that are outside of us and here that are different than me. And how I am and what I've understood. It's like been so rich and awesome. And plus, it's just so doggone tiring to maintain the walls. Like, it's tiring. I didn't see it at the time because it seemed necessary and right. But it's tiring. It's exhausting. And so it's been great for me. But more importantly than that, and this should be very important, of paramount importance to us if we're Christians, I've become more useful to God with a broader spectrum of humanity that Jesus died for. I've become useful with a broader spectrum of people. That's my goal of our lives as Christians, is to have God in such a way that we are co-working with him in his incredible work. Because we think it's the best life available. We Christians do. So I've had this men's group. We all might be able to find our own measuring sticks, but if you'll indulge me, I want to celebrate a bit from what I've learned in my men's group. It's met in the basement of my house for almost 15 years now. And we've had hundreds of guys go through this small group. It's been really neat. And the very fact that it's a small group means I don't get, like, I'm not saying this is all me at all. We've done this as groups, as a group. We've done this together and, of course, with Christ. But I'm a part of a community that has made it their intention and their purpose to grow in this area, to be available to any swath of the vast landscape of humanity. And so in our group, we've had all kinds. We've had churched, we've had unchurched, we've had overchurched, we've had burned by church folks in my men's group. We've had Methodist and Baptist and Catholic and every stripe of Church of Christ that you can imagine, and probably some you can't, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. We've had agnostic, we've had atheist, we've had Buddhist, we've had New Age folks, we've had spiritualists and humanists. We've had black and white and brown and yellow and mixed race men in our group. We've had, nationality-wise, I tried to remember, we've had Americans, of course, but Mexicans and British and a Spaniard. I'm smiling because I always call him my Spaniard friend. Central Americans, I can't remember the countries, and Africans, I can't remember all those. We've had railroaders, farmers, and ranchers, and we've had engineers and pharmacists and bankers. We've had cops and drug dealers in the same group. We've had prison guards and ex-cons in the same group. Barriers, walls. We've had straight men, gay men, transgender men in our group. We had a cross-dresser that came in, a man who was considered himself a woman who considered herself a man. We've even had a woman attend our men's group. Only once, but she really wanted to, and so we just, okay. We've had teenagers in 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, and that's good because in these 15 years I've been in three of those groups. And hopefully I'll be in more. We've had adulterers and drug addicts and sex addicts and food addicts and health addicts and religion addicts and we've had goody two-shoes, if you know what I mean. People who've just been really, 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 really good all their life. And I'm telling you, that might be some of the hardest barriers to get over is to include someone like that. We feel diminished and we feel... We've had depressed guys and bipolar guys and physically handicapped men and suicidal men and terminally ill men. We've had a lot of things that... Over 15 years. We haven't always been so inclusive in our little group. It'd be so much easier to just take a few of us from in here and go have a small group. And that's how we started. But we added intent and purpose, and we speak of it all the time, that this just isn't for us. This whole kingdom thing, this whole growing in Christ. This is for the world. And so that means we're going to have to face some things that keep us out of relationship with the world. And I'll tell you, when we faced and dismantled walls in order to be more inclusive of who God sent our way, it hadn't always been easy. But we don't give up. We've not ever given up. It's the one thing we haven't done. And for me, it's simply because my Bible tells me that there is no one in the whole wide world, not one person, not one people group, that doesn't need the gospel that we have in here. Not one. Anywhere. Whatever it is, whatever category of people they belong to. So I'd like to end this series with one of my favorite teachings, which happens to be here in 2 Peter in this, the rest, a few more verses in chapter 1. And so I'm going to read it to you. Bear with me. It's a little bit long, so bear with me. It's really good and really worth it. And I'll just make some observations of why I love this so much. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. His divine power has given us everything we need for godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature of things and escape the corruption of the world and its nature caused by evil desires. So for this reason, Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and finally love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing nature, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, in other words, if they do not have these qualities in ever-increasing nature, then he's so nearsighted that he's blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Here's what I love about this passage. The first one is that he boldly says, we have everything we need. God has given us everything we need. Have we attained it? Are we earning it? Do we need to go and get it? No, he's given it. What has he given? Everything we need for life and for godliness. Most of us, including me, do not live under that reality. We are busy looking at what we don't have that we need. And then we run as hard as we can to try to get what it is. Or diminish ourselves about, woe is me. I'm so such a sorry person because I can't get what I need. Or we accuse God. Where is God? How can I believe in a God that doesn't give me what I need? But this declares just the opposite. Listen, we're going to have bad days. It can feel like we have a need that's not being met. Your feelings are real. This says they are not right. God has indeed given you, present time, right now, everything you need for life. Everything you need for God's way of life. He's got you. I love that about this passage. The other thing I love about it is because of that, we get to participate in the divine. Do you know what kind of invitation this is? I mean, like, we get to participate in the divine nature of things. And it's not somewhere way off there, out there somewhere. And it's not waiting for us in heaven, okay? The divine nature of things is right here. It just depends on which glasses you're wearing at any given moment. I mean, that's the whole point of the incarnation, that Jesus, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. He packed into the flesh, the divine. It's everywhere. It's in here. It's everywhere. It's all over. Of course, there's the worldly nature of things, too, in that. But there's a divine nature. We get to participate in the divine part. Too many Christians doubt this and don't even believe this and don't live like this and don't walk through life feeling like we're participating in the divine things. We believe what Peter says here, that we can be corrupted by the world and its nature and its things. We believe that. No problem. Even with what Jesus did, I can get into the world. I can totally merge into the life that's out there that's worldly. But I don't believe I can escape that and just participate in the divine part of it all and be in this world but not of it. But this says, yes, you can. We get to, as a matter of fact, we get to participate in the divine part of life. Do you see life like that? Another thing I love about this passage is we have something worthy to spend our lives on, to spend ourselves on. He says, make every effort then. Since he's given you everything you need, he's given it to you. Not by your effort, it's just a gift. He's got your back. He's resourced you. And to participate in the divine nature, so, since that's true, cooperate with him and pour yourself out into this worthy thing of becoming ever increasingly more like Christ, of bringing more and more of the kingdom into this world that he loves. Does he say, make some efforts in your life to add to your faith these furnishings? No, every effort. You know, make some time in the week, maybe on Sundays for an hour or two. You know, make some time to listen to someone else tell you that you should do this and call that good. No, he says, spend yourself on this. This is what you're longing for, is to be worthwhile, effective and productive and full of, like, the Spirit. A spirit that is fullness. We have some. I love this passage because I can go to bed exhausted having done this, and it's like refreshing. Because I'm not doing it to attain anything. I'm just doing it. It's its own reward. It's its own reward. Like I was built for this work. And the last thing that I love about this, and this is where we'll finish this series and today, it identifies the core problem if you're not growing in an area of your Christian life. Did you know that? This identifies the core problem. He knows your problem. If you're not growing, if you're like, man, I'm just stuck in a rut, I feel ineffective and unproductive, and it's just what was me, and I just don't know, I'm stuck, and I can't seem to get it, and I try this different stuff, and I'm trying all the spiritual disciplines even, I'm praying more, and I'm reading the Bible more, and I'm serving more, and still, just inwardly, I don't feel the whole spiritual transformation thing happening, I'm not lively, it's like those are just good works, and I'm glad to do them, but it's not doing this. So, you know what your problem is? I'm going to tell you what your problem is. But first, I'm going to ask our elders and our ministers, go ahead and move around the room here. This is a big one. If you need help with them. And everyone that's moving right now, all of us, we need help with them. So we want to help you too. Here it is. If you're not growing, if you're not progressing in your faith, if you're not escaping the world's ways and the corruption of the world, if you're not overcoming your own evil desires, if your joy is absent and your peace is unattainable, here's your problem. It is because, and this is what Scripture says, you have forgotten something. You have forgotten that you are forgiven of your sins. You've forgotten. You have forgotten this unbelievable, incredible news. You've forgotten. Because anyone who stays present to that, like really stays in touch with that, it's just so unbelievable and yet true. You can't escape, like, it's goodness. You can't escape, like, increases this underneath the waterline joy. And it doesn't mean you don't have bad days. It doesn't mean you have the dark cloud over you sometimes instead of riding cloud nine, okay? But cloud nine cannot be defeated. And even when you face it, like, the more and more you increase in these qualities, the more and more you believe in the forgiveness of your sins, the more and more you stay present to that, the less and less you get thrown off by a bad day. The less and less that happens. And you can't help, because of everything you've learned teaches you to believe and have faith in what you haven't learned yet. Everything you've overcome teaches you to have faith in what you need to overcome next. And even though it's hard and causes tears and sometimes grief and fear, there's this undergirding that you know's down there that's going to win the day every single time. And it makes you grow. So that even the challenges, even your own mistakes, you know, they're important. You need to do some things. But in the end, every single one of them are going to be redeemed. Not just forgiven. Redeemed. Made useful in me becoming more like Christ. And in me engaging the world more effectively and productively. I love this passage. So let me just ask you, and I want you to really think about it. Are you forgiven? Are you? If you haven't received the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ, then do not live another day without it. I know I couldn't live one more day without it. And I don't want anyone in this world, anyone in this room, to live one more day without it. So if you haven't done that, you come to any of these folks, and we will walk you right through what it takes to just receive that and be immersed into that. Into that is Jesus and forgiveness of your sins. But most of you, you don't need that question. You need this question. Have you forgotten? You're forgiven, but have you forgotten? And you can't just say, no, I know I've been forgiven. You can't answer it like that. There's a litmus test. The litmus test is you have to examine your life and say, am I progressing? Am I progressing? Am I becoming more and more? Am I taking ground? Do I just have stories from 25 years ago, or do I have some from last month? Am I progressing? Am I growing? Am I lively and becoming more like Jesus? If you aren't, then you've forgotten something. Because this truth motivates you for the rest of your life. It saves you from just even boredom for the rest of your life. It saves you from being stuck. It saves you from the doldrums. It saves you from feeling ineffective and unproductive. It saves you from being dispirited and diminished and just coasting the rest of your life. Remembering that you have been forgiven of your sins will save you in every way you need to be saved that matters. And it will connect you to the life of the Spirit that is making us more like Christ and taking this thing that we have in here to everyone out there that we can have the privilege of dismantling our barriers to include and to share it with. It's time to remember. If you need help, then come. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. So let's stand, let's sing, and come if we can help you in any way.